Sport on Highland brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Now stocking the official GAA Donegal snood and face masks.
A very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme tonight here on Highland. Coming up on this week's show in our Ahead of the Game section with Leon Blanche, we'll be looking ahead to some of the big Premier League games cross-channel. Derry City bowed out of the FAI Cup on Wednesday night in Sligo. We'll hear from Derry boss Declan Devine. Donegal native Charlie McGeever joins us from Tipperary as the Premier County celebrate their Munster success and look forward to an All-Ireland semi-final meeting with Mayo. I'll be discussing the appointment of Fergal Logan and Brian Doher as joint managers of Tyrone with Paddy Hunter of the Ulster Herald. We'll also be getting the vibes out of Louth following the appointment of Mickey Hart with LMFM's GAA commentator Colm Corrigan. But up first, we're being joined by Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News as we get his views on Declan Bonner's intention to remain as Donegal manager. The county boss told today's edition of the Donegal News that he intends to stay in charge and that the management team will begin the season review soon. Donegal's Ulster campaign suffered a shock defeat at the hands of Cavan in the provincial final last Sunday in Armagh. Well, Ryan, first of all, is it too early yet to get over that huge disappointment of not getting the three in a row?
It's a very disappointing defeat now. I suppose, you know, people weren't expecting it, and, you know, it's one of those things, you know, had you won, you would be playing Dublin in 2 weeks, and, you know, I suppose probably a lot of Donegal fans maybe felt the season would come to an end maybe at that juncture, so you're probably only talking another 2 weeks maybe, so... You know, I think the next 2 weeks are going to be hard for people. You know, just that when you should have been talking about potential matchups and maybe whether the game should have been in Croke Park or all this kind of thing, and it's just not going to be the case. You know, it's Cavan are the story this week, and you know Mickey Graham and his Midas touch, as they say, and you know it's a difficult one for Donegal people and Donegal supporters, but I would say the players and the management are feeling it more than anyone else, Oisin.
Yeah, and you, of course, spoke to Declan this week in the edition of the paper, the Thursday edition in the paper, where he clearly states his intentions to stay on for 2021 because there was an extension agreed for a further year last year at the end of his threes, now at the end of the three. So, obviously, Declan feels that there's another Ulster there.
Yeah, I think very much so. I think, he talks in the paper about that he still sees a huge amount of potential in the team. You know, and obviously he'll have to do a review of the season, as he always does, you know, with his backroom team, and he'll also have to talk to the county board and probably iron out a few things there as well, Oisin, you know. But I think he definitely does see, you know, potential in the team. I had a piece in the paper this week, and he had used 37 players over the course of the season, going back to January in the McKenna Cup. And I think only five of those, now I'm open to correction on that, but I'm pretty sure that only five of those are over the age of 30. So that, you know, that means there's a lot of players, you know, in that 20 mark, you know, that maybe players that can push on, maybe players that dropped off and could come back. Maybe there are others around the club scene that he maybe has an eye on. And, you know, obviously the other key point will be trying to keep the older heads on for another year.
Yeah, obviously Declan has now shown his intention to stick around in 2021, but does all this still have to be rubber stamped with the county board, Ryan?
Yeah, well, he'll have to meet with the county board and review the season, as always. And I said they'll probably have to iron out a few things, you know, but I don't see any issue coming out of it. You know, he was ratified last September for another year, so I don't think there'll be any issue there, Oisin.
Yeah. It certainly has been a challenging year, and it's a year with a difference, and a year that will be remembered for COVID and major football upsets as well. But I'm sure there'll be a number of, you mentioned the players that are under 30 there. I'm sure there's a number of the players that are over 30 will probably be sitting back now and taking stock of where their future lies as well, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, Oisin, you know, and but it's probably a little bit different, you know, from other seasons. I suppose, first of all, maybe, first and foremost, I think you've had a long season. You know, like a lot of the players would have been back since January, you know, when you're now in the mouth of December. So it's been a long year. So people may need a break. There's only a certain amount of break they will get because the season will be, you know, we're led to believe will be starting in pretty much around the 20th, 21st of September. You know, the National League or whatever form that league takes, whether it'll be a regional league of 3 or 4 games, possibly a semi-final. We're not quite sure yet. We're waiting on the GAA to confirm that. So, yeah, the older players will have to sit down and, you know, some of them have got families, you know, and they'll have to decide what is best for themselves. I suppose probably the most pressing one probably is Neil McGee, you know, but like Neil turned 35 there about 2 weeks ago, but you know, as Andy Murray
was one of the Donegal, and sorry, Ryan, he was one of the better players for Donegal last Sunday if when we look back in the game.
Yeah, he definitely was. You know, he was driving forward. He was the one man could punch holes. You know, when the team couldn't, and he showed a lot of leadership. And I think, to be fair to Neil, Austin, I think he had probably his best season in a good few years for Donegal. You know, so there's definitely still football in him at an inter-county level, as well as he wants it or not. As I was saying, you know, Anthony Molloy is in the Donegal News this week, and he's saying, you know, that Neil McGee probably doesn't feel like he's 35, you know, and he has kept himself in phenomenal shape, to be fair to Neil. And, you know, I think all the people in Donegal, the supporters, will hope he stays on for another year, but that'll be his decision.
Yeah. I know that the players and the management will say that all the talk around Donegal and going to the next stage and then the semi-final and all this media talk of being the only team to put it up to Dublin, that was right across the country, right across the board, so it was. Now, Declan said that they tried their best to keep all sort of talk out of that, but as time goes on, things like that do start to infiltrate and through possibly players and through a backroom team and things. And it was just the talk about it was too hot. Do you think that was maybe a factor, Ryan?
It possibly was. You know, I have to hold my hands up myself, washing, and you know, I wrote a preview on it, and I give Cavan next to no chance. You know, last week of doing it, like, you know, so you know, I can't be sitting on my high horse this week either, you know. But I suppose, you know, I think it would only be normal if they thought they were going to win the game. The Cavan were a dogged side, and they were possibly, you know, expecting to be put up a big test. Did they expect them to really push them down the home straight? Maybe not. The other side of that is, Oisin, you know, when a lot of talk has been about, you know, the Cavan had a man black-carded and, you know, Donegal kicked 7 points in that period. And they did, you know, but they had 9 points on the board after 21 minutes, you know, which, you know, didn't show an awful lot of sign of complacency there, you know. So, listen, maybe they were looking ahead, and Declan is quite strong in the paper that, you know, the players that were injured were genuinely injured, and it wasn't a case of looking forward to a game down the line, you know. So, you know, we'd have to obviously have to take him on his word with that, you know. So, like, you would like to think that they weren't being complacent, and I suppose after seeing what happened to Kerry, you know, you'd probably be surprised if they'd taken the eye off the ball, but, you know, you just wonder subconsciously if it seeps in there.
Yeah. Just finally then, Ryan, is the hurt of a loss like that, and obviously the history around trying to do 3 in a row for the first time, is the hurt and the pain of a loss like that enough for these boys to come back next year and try and regain that Anglo-Celt Cup?
Yeah, well, if you remember back to the 2014 Ulster final, Austin, when Donegal defeated Monaghan, and the big celebrations after that match, you know, when they were carrying the hurt of losing the Ulster final to Monaghan the year before and missing out on that chance for 3 in a row. So I'm sure it will keep the players going. They'll feel that maybe they didn't do themselves justice last week, and they'll be looking to get back there. But, you know, you look at this Cavan team, you know, they're, you know, as somebody was saying, a lot of them have, you know, 50, 60 appearances for their county. They were deserving winners, and they're going to be probably a force, you know, over the next couple of years. Monaghan will be there, and obviously, you know, we have our neighbours who made a big appointment there last night, Oisin, with Fergal Logan and Brian Dinger coming in, and, you know, they'll bring a bit of grit and age back to Tyrone, you know, and, like, you can be damn sure that they're going to have their eyes on the Anglo-Celt Cup next year. So, as much as Donegal will be keen to get back there and keen to get back to the Ulster final, you know, it's going to be a very, very competitive Ulster Championship in 2021 once again.
Yeah, that's for sure. Listen, Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News, many thanks for joining us.
Okay, Arsene, thank you.
Well, we move from Donegal to Tyrone, and the Red Hand County officials last night confirmed the appointment of Fergal Logan and Brian Duher as the new joint managers of the Tyrone senior football team. The duo have been ratified on a 3-year period. Mickey Donnelly was the other name on the table, but he withdrew his candidacy to replace Mickey Hart on Wednesday afternoon. Logan has added Collie Holmes and Joe McMahon to his backroom team, while Peter Donnelly has left Monaghan and takes up a coaching role with his native county. Duher, Holmes and McMahon were all All-Ireland winners under Mickey Hart, while Logan managed Tyrone to All-Ireland under 21 success in 2015. Paddy Hunter is a GAA writer with the Ulster Herald, and he says it's a new dawn for Tyrone GAA.
You're right, Oisín. Thank you very much for inviting me on, as always. Great to be talking about Tyrone, and great to be talking about Tyrone in a new era, the start of a new era, because I think we've got to the stage where it was stale. I think people have to admit that. That said, Tyrone weren't that far away against Donegal that day down in Ballybofey in the rain. You know, so you have to sort of think, well, the players are there, the quality is there. Maybe they just need that new sort of step up. Maybe they just need that new voice in the changing room. And well, we've got it now. I'm not going to say a new voice, but certainly a very well-known but well-experienced voice between himself, Fergal Logan and Brian Duher, two men that know the game inside out. The only man missing, of course, potentially is Peter Canavan, and he said he won't come on board, obviously, with his son and his son-in-law still involved in the team. But there's one for the future, perhaps, from a Tyrone point of view, that, you know, Peter could be in the background doing something. And then the exciting news is, obviously, that Joe McMahon could be part of that backroom team, maybe moving away from Fermanagh. And, of course, the return, potentially, we're told, of Peter Donnelly. We'll obviously hear more later on tonight, but that seems to be the way it is at this stage.
And not forgetting about Collie Holmes. Listen, this
Collie Holmes. Collie Holmes is a shoe-in.
Yeah, you know, this management here, Paddy, it's full of winners. It's full of men who know to strive to success. And probably this might be that slight wee missing ingredient that wasn't there. Maybe I know Tyrone got all Ireland's under Mickey and got very, very close. But there's a very fine line when you get to a certain level to having success and not having success, and maybe this might be possibly the key to it, given that what all these boys have achieved, and again, it was all under Mickey Hart.
Absolutely. You know, like Collie Holmes, excuse me for missing him there, but like he was the Clarks manager, you know, as well for a time, and you know, they've had great success in the background over the past couple of years. Everyone together has been at that 2015 unit that won the All-Ireland under 21 titles, it was then, you know. And then your players, Kieran McGeary, Callum McShane, still to come into the squad now, obviously, Rory Brennan, Pádraig Hamsay, Mickey Cassidy, Frankie Burns, Mark Bradley, as I say. You know, all them players are coming into this mix now as well. Now, Mickey would have told people that the team, maybe there was more to come from this team, but it's just, they seemed to have plateaued at that All-Ireland stage in 2018, and there wasn't going to be much maybe more out of them. Now, and that's maybe down to the fact that it was just the same mantra coming out from behind the scenes. We haven't heard from Mickey Hart, incidentally, in the local media, which has to be disappointing, because when you go back 18 years to 2002, but then you go back further to 1991, it was the local media that kept them very much in the spotlight all the time, you know what I mean, Oisín? And, you know, we followed his trail from the under-18s, the minors, through the under-21s, and then through the seniors, and there was good times, there's no getting away from that, and he brought an awful lot to the top table in Tyrone, but maybe it was time for change, and I think these guys are that fresh, young, and I know they'll like me for saying that, some of them boys involved, but they'll like me for saying that, but they're the fresh talent coming through in terms of management. And Mickey Donnelly, who was going to stand against, obviously, Fergal Logan, he's expressed the fact that it isn't his time yet and felt it was right that Fergal Logan had a crack at this. And I think everybody in Tyrone, I was reading some of the online posts over the last 24 hours, you know, about it, and Some of the funny ones, like Spain getting WJ Dolan jerseys out of the attic again to put them on again to support this team, you know. And you have that sort of buzz in the air. And that's good for Tyrone football, because I think with this combination of management and with the players that are there and the one or two players still to come in, there's a good product there, Rushy.
Yeah. You may say there's a good product, but there's another side to the product moving forward, and that is, how do you handle so much expectation now going forward? Because there's always expectation in Tyrone GAA circles. It's just got bigger with these appointments over the last 24 hours. How are the guys going to handle it?
I think there's what I say, you may think there's expectation. I think the reality is that people know that there's a quality side here. They're not far away from progression again. There may be expectation, but for those of us who, like yourself, are involved in the media day to day, you sort of know it's going to take time. You have to give these guys time to bed in, to settle in. But I would imagine, with the names there behind the scenes, and you know, with the quality of the management as they are, they're going to hit the ground running. Bear in mind, Brian Doher's a three-time All-Ireland winner, you know, captain to say to an All-Ireland title. You look back at Fergal Logan's success as a player as well, played in the, against Dublin in the All-Ireland final, was there or thereabouts, you know, as one of the key men in Art McCrory set up. You know, these guys have learned from the best. Colly Holmes came through from Art McCrory, as did Brian Doher from Art McCrory, Nigi McKenna, and the Mickey Hart set up. These guys know what they're doing. Peter Donnelly, you know, needs no explanation. He was touted around the country. People wanted him in Tyrone, and he was away. And then Joe McMahon, well, everybody talked about Joe McMahon's ability as a coach as well as a player, and he's proven himself at club level. He was there in the sideline, obviously, with the Fermanagh side as well. And if he does come on board, as does Peter Donnelly, well, you know, it's a dream ticket. But them guys have all been at the highest level, and they know how to handle things. And I think that's a big, big plus point from a Tyrone point of view. Yes, there's expectation, and the normal man in the state will be go rubbing the hand thinking it'll be nothing but All-Ireland titles. Tyrone got to the stage, actually, in the early 2000s when winning an Ulster title didn't mean anything. I remember in 2007, Senna was the cup, been left behind because we were getting a photograph taken, me and the family, and turned around, the boys went in because it was only the Anglo-Celt Cup. Roll on a couple of years, you just seen how important that Anglo-Celt Cup was. You've seen how important it was to Calvin on Sunday to win that. Excuse me for mentioning that. Obviously, you're a good Donegal man. But you have to give them credit for the way that Calvin won that and what it meant to them. So you know that you won an honours at any stage, at any kind, is important to these boys. If they can hit the ground running, which I think they will, well, they're going to be in a very good shout. And as we said earlier on, you've Callum McShane coming into the mix, and there's maybe one or two others that we don't know about. Maybe the Dungannon lads that proved so important for Dungannon Clarks during the championship summer, autumn. Them guys will maybe get a run out now as well. And I think it's going to be important that there is that element of new faces coming in to maybe bolster things and maybe a new style of football as well. I'd imagine that.
Paddy Hunter, it's an exciting time for Tyrone football, and I think today the warning flags are out and the warning signs are out to the rest of Ulster that possibly Tyrone might be turning the tide and becoming a force in the province again. We're going to wait and see what happens in the coming season and next year. Paddy, as always, thanks a million.
Ashley, thank you very much. I also had to mention that, you know, there's hurling appointments, under-20s, minors, and these appointments all coming over the next few days as well. So very much an exciting time for everybody up in this part of the world. Thank you, Ashley.
Well, moving a wee bit further south, and Mickey Hart is the new manager of the Louth Senior Footballers. He, of course, was handed a 3-year term on Monday evening, just over a week after ending his 18-year reign in charge of Tyrone. Hart replaces Wayne Cairns, who left the role after their Leinster Championship defeat to Longford. Hart will be assisted once again by Gavin Devlin, and together they'll also take charge of Louth's under-20 footballers. This week I've been discussing that huge appointment with Colm Corrigan, GA commentator with LMFM. Okay, Colm, huge news down that part of the country with Mickey Hart becoming the senior manager. Listen, we were all taken by surprise by the move. Was the people in Louth, the GAA people in Louth, just as surprised as the rest of us?
Probably that would be a fair assessment of it, Oisin. Yeah, it did kind of take a lot of people by surprise. Now, there were rumblings, and Mickey Hart's name did certainly come up once he stepped down from the Tyrone job, and it kind of coincided then not long after Wayne Cairns had not been offered another term as Louth manager. Wayne, of course, had done two seasons in the job, and the county board here in Louth decided not to give him that third year. And he actually, there was an interview, Peter Fitzpatrick, the Louth chairman, was interviewed on our own stage the Sunday about 2 weeks ago, and it was put to him, would Mickey Hart be one of the considerations, would you consider lifting the phone to him? And Peter Fitzpatrick straight away said certainly he'd be a man that you know that he would be interested in talking to. So obviously from there the whole thing took off, and in fairness to the special subcommittee that were set up to oversee this appointment, Oisin, it was very much kept under wraps. A lot of other names were being bandied about, you know, candidates within the county, Meath people, Dublin, former Dublin footballers, all kind of linked. But Mickey Hart, even though, you know, Peter Fitzpatrick had been asked about it, he didn't seem to be a front runner by any means, and it was kept very quiet. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, last Monday evening came the press and the press release and the announcement at around 8 o'clock that indeed Mickey Hart had been appointed on a 3-year term. So from that point of view, it did kind of catch everybody in surprise, because I know from past experience, Oisin, to try and keep these kind of appointments under wraps, it's very difficult in a county Louth size, even though, you know, it's the smallest county in the country, but, you know, GA people tend to talk to each other, and there's a lot of, you know, communication going on, and usually a name gets out before you know, before it's ratified. But in this case, in fairness to the county board, they kept everything very, very quiet, and had their homework and let's say and their groundwork done. And then when obviously everything was agreed, then come the 8 o'clock on Monday evening, it was announced. So in terms of reaction, Oisin, if you look at social media that night alone, a huge reaction, not just within Louth but further afield as well. And I think, you know, it certainly is a statement of intent. And I think Louth people were looking for a big name, probably weren't expecting as big a name as Mickey Hart, maybe, as I say, an ex-Dublin footballer, an ex-Meath footballer, or some other county, maybe somebody that would have been known. But certainly to get Mickey Hart and you know, the way it was done fairly quickly in the end, I think, you know, caught a lot of people by surprise. But I think it's enormous credit to the Louth County Board for the way that they've gone about their business.
Yeah, it may be the smallest county in the country and on the island of Ireland, but it's the biggest move in GAA managerial positions in quite some time. Mick O'Dwyer probably was the last one of such a magnitude of this move of Mickey Hart. But they've got Mickey Hart now in a position, but this is all part of a big picture for Louth GAA and Louth football, Colin.
Yeah, so, well, you would be hoping so, Oisin. You may know that, for instance, there's a new stadium plan for Dundalk within the next year or two, and I think Mickey Hart's arrival, you know, I think we'll probably push that along. That's just from a stadium point of view. But in terms of football, he is obviously coming in with Gavin Devlin as his right-hand man, and they're also taking the under-20 job. But there has been a bit of a gap there between minor, under-20 and senior level. Not enough players have been coming through from those ranks. We remember Louth contested a Leinster minor final just 3 years ago, but a lot of those players are now off the scene. So, you know, there has been a problem to try and bring those players along to senior level. So it would be hoped that maybe that gap now can be bridged by Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin, the fact that they're going to be working with that under 20 group of players. And of course, he's coming in as well with a clean slate. Let's say Mickey Hart, I'm not sure just how much he knows about Louth club football. He'd certainly probably know a little bit about a lot of the players that have played with Louth in the last few years. Tyrone and Louth have crossed paths at various occasions, going way back to, I suppose, the most memorable meeting was the qualifier in 06, the one that went to a replay. But even in recent years, Louth and Tyrone have met a few times. And of course, Mickey's late brother Peter lived in Knockbridge in Louth here for a good few years as well, so he wouldn't be unfamiliar with the county as such. But I suppose he's going to have to do a bit of scouring now to try and get the best players possible to play with the county team. But I think any player playing club football at the minute would be very much excited about the prospect of Mickey Hart coming in and being called up to the Louth panel. It has been a problem. There seems to have been, you know, a little bit of fall off in interest at senior level. A lot of players not making themselves available in the last couple of years, and maybe you know they might just decide now to have a look at things again. And if the call comes from Mickey Hart, Oisin, they may be prepared to jump back on board.
Yeah, Mickey Hart is in on a 3-year term. Where does Mickey Hart, by your understanding, want to be at the end of his first period? Where exactly does he want to bring Louth football?
Well, I would say probably the height of what he can achieve is probably back to Division 2, Loudwater Division 2 team when Pete McGrath came in a couple of years back, and we know that went pear-shaped. But I suppose, you know, a lot of comparisons with Pete McGrath and Mickey Hart, and the fact that they came into the Loud job on the back of winning multiple All-Ireland titles. But Pete McGrath was starting in Division 2. Mickey Hart is starting right at the bottom of the ladder in Division 4. So really, you probably have to say the only way is up for Loud, you know, the promotion out of Division 4, the first time of asking next spring, it would have to be taken as a given that really is the first thing he's going to have to achieve. I think for Loud not to get promoted next season out of the bottom rung in the league would be a bit of a disaster. But I think if everybody's focused, and I think they're good enough, Oisín, I think that should be achieved, even though it'll be probably a shortened season. We don't know what way the leagues are going to be structured as of yet with the ongoing situation with the pandemic, but you would take it that Loud would be probably favourites to come out of Division 4. Yeah. Ultimately, then, within the 3 years, I would say getting back to Division 2, you know, I think that is probably the plan that Mickey Hart would have, and the county board. That's certainly what the aspiration would be, to try and get back to Division 2. In terms of the championship, unfortunately for Loud, they're in Leinster, and of course, you know what that means. It's very, very difficult to obviously break the Dublin stranglehold. You know, to be honest, if the likes of Kildare, Meath and other counties can't do it, I don't think there's much prospect of Loud doing it either. You know, they're probably a fair bit behind some of the likes of Meath, obviously Dublin, probably Kildare as well. So look, it's a kind of rebuilding process. You know, maybe if you got a decent Leinster draw and get a couple of games out of that, and maybe then a decent run in the qualifiers, and maybe cause a shock or two along the way, I think that's probably as much as you can hope for. But you know, I certainly think the league anyway, for the minute, is, you know, trying to get them back out of Division 4 and get back to Division 2 eventually. That would be certainly something I think that Mickey Hart would be targeting. And then in the championship, you know, maybe the qualifiers would be the best route to try and just get a couple of results. But you know, but I think ultimately Loud's big problems, Oisín, you know, they don't start and end with Mickey Hart. For a lot of long number of years now, Loud's problems go back to underage level. You know, they haven't really been doing quite enough in the schools. They've, you know, they've lost a lot of younger players to other codes as well. Dundalk, of course, as we know, is a big soccer town. Drogheda too as well. Drogheda United coming back to the Premier Division for next season, that's going to give them a lift. And you know, to try and keep youngsters, get them interested in getting them to continue playing Gaelic at underage level, that's a big task that the county board have, and I don't think that's going to be solved with Mickey Hart's appointment. But they are putting structures in place. They've got Colin Kelly, the former Loud manager, in now he's back on board overseeing the development squads under 14, 15 and 16. So I think Loud will be focusing in that area in quite a bit in the next few years as well, Oisín.
Yeah. Just finally then, with all this talk now around Mickey Hart coming to Louth, there's a renewed excitement, I'm sure, on the Gaelic football front in the Wee County.
Yes, absolutely. And we're just after coming off a very successful club season here. Most games played behind closed doors and at the Centre of Excellence. But it was a very good club championship, Oisín. We had Nave Martin winning the Loud Senior Championship for the first time. We had St Brides from Knockbridge winning a championship for the first time since 1967. They won the intermediate. And there was some great club football played, you'd have to say, over the autumn months, as good as a club football, as a club championship as I've seen. So the hope would be a lot of those fellas maybe that didn't play in the last couple of games at inter-county level in the Leinster Championship in the last couple of rounds in the league, that perhaps, you know, they will get on board now. Mickey Hart, I'm sure, he's already got down to work to try and identify the best players and the players that he wants to bring into his panel. I'm sure he's probably establishing a network now of people around the county to try and give him the best possible advice of who he wants to get in to that county panel. So it's certainly very exciting times, and you know, and credit to the county board as well. They certainly didn't sit on their hands on this one. Peter Fitzpatrick would be very proactive, the former Loud manager, of course, as well, you know, and he's been very, very upfront. He said they were going to, the intention was to go for an experienced man, to go for a man, you know, that was going to drive them on, a well-known figure that could get fellas playing and proud of the jersey again. And I think that's what they certainly have achieved with this appointment, Oisín.
Colin Corrigan, many thanks for talking to us today, and we wish you and the guys down at the radio station, and obviously all the GA people in Louth, all the best in the future under the guidance of Mr. Mickey Hart.
Thank you very much, Oisín.
Well, exciting times ahead for GA followers in the wee county of Louth. Well, Tipperary are back down to training ahead of their All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo on Sunday week at Croke Park. Tip won a first Munster football title in 85 years when they beat Cork last Sunday. There is a Donegal influence in the Tip dressing room, and that's with Charlie McGeever, who's part of the backroom team. I spoke with Charlie this week about their tremendous victory in Munster. Charlie, listen, it's great to have you back on Highland Radio again. And I suppose, first of all, what's it been like in the aftermath and the days after winning a first Munster title in 85 years?
Well, I suppose, Oisin, it's a little bit surreal, I suppose, because nothing seems to change around the town. Particularly, I'm living in Clonmel, and it hasn't created any change. As opposed to the changes on social media, it's all the communication, I suppose, Oisin, more than anything else. Very little in terms of physical change. We did, when we finished, we made a stop. We decided to drive through Ballyporeen, which is the village of the captain, Conor Sweeney. It's on the way back from Cork. And that was agreed by the squad at the end. But sure, when we got to Ballyporeen, a huge crowd awaiting there who had heard that we were coming that direction. But we didn't stop off. Oisin was a drive through, straight through the town, I suppose, in a slow manner. But and out the other end. And that's as far as it went on Sunday night. And with lockdown, I'm working from home, so I haven't seen much of a change to date. We're back training tonight, so that'll be the first get together that we've had since Sunday.
Yeah.
But in saying that, Oisin, this is a very probably a very experienced group, so I don't think it'll be a huge hoo-ha at this point. I mean, it was a monkey off our back, but at the same time, I think we have to be cognizant of the time we live in, you know,
yeah,
and be thankful, Oisin, that we're actually involved in sport when you look at some other areas, you know.
Yeah, I know. And it does put a lot of things to bed, doesn't it, for you, Charlie?
Oh, well, it does. It's the biggest part of this, I suppose, is I am a blow-in. I've been down here now near enough 20 years, and like everything else, I've been involved in the soccer down here, involved in the Gaelic down here, but I know from them what was hanging over them for so long, and a lot of good players. I mean, we think of people like Declan Brown, who was an all-star, one of the best players the country's seen, who was a tip man, never got the opportunity to win this competition. So they've been close a couple of times, but this current squad, I suppose, Oisin, is on the go for the last 10, 12 years, since 2010 or earlier, and there was always going to be a big day in this group because they're a special bunch of lads. And to be quite honest, I think only for COVID, it wouldn't have happened. And now that it's happened, I think if it didn't happen last Sunday, it may not have happened for long, because we know the strength they carry and they're not going to take it lying down, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose when Kerry's not about, you have to make the most of it, don't you, Charlie?
You do, and I suppose that was the deciding factor, I suppose, Oisin, that we would have no fear of Cork down and Tip, I suppose. These lads have won underage medals and competitions against Cork. They've beaten them in championship. Even in the league this year, even though Cork walked through Division 3, they only beat us by a point in Semple, 20, I think it was 22 points to 20. I think we scored 21 scores and they scored 3-13. So, you know, and that was with a third of this team not there. So we just felt in the lead up to it that there was an opportunity, and the lads, you know, that the group decided that they'd give it everything, and we had a couple of add-ons, as you know, from before. But along with that, I suppose, one would have to say that Cork's selection probably left us a little bit baffled as well, because they went with a very young team, and I think it may have cost them in the end, you know.
Yeah. There seemed to be a feeling of the stars were lining up for you, Charlie, because given the 100 years, the commemorative year of Bloody Sunday, Tipperary were involved. You've changed the jersey. There was big questions asked of the minors that won previously. Colin O'Riordan was back from Australia. Yous were due a big game from Quinlevin. It seemed to be all set up for the win, so it did.
It was indeed, yeah. The statement down here about the stars being aligned is a fair statement. I think that COVID didn't do us any harm compared to maybe other counties. We had a lot of good players that were going away on their tour and actually were away. So, you know, as you say, Michael Quinlevin came back from Australia. He was in Australia at the time, came back here. Liam Casey was travelling. He came back, big player in the middle of the field. And we also got, as you know, Colin Reardon, as you mentioned, coming back from the Swan and been training with us for the last 12 weeks or so. So those players are not just ordinary players. They're very much very influential players in Tipperary, and indeed probably would grace any team really, I suppose, around the country. So they were a huge fillip for the other lads who had soldiered before that. So our preparation prior to lockdown would have been very different to what it is now. We were able to bring these lads in, and our run of wins since we've five in a row now are within the league and the championship, and it's just given everybody kind of a lift, and everybody is at a stage now where they feel they're unbeatable, I suppose, in a sense. You go on a run of wins, Oisin, you know yourself, you keep it going. Sometimes a run of losses and you can't break it, you know. So that was the case, particularly in the semi-final against Limerick. Like, we were blessed at that point. We were struggling in half-time, and it was only their, I think, their know-how of winning games that got them there.
Yeah. Listen, it's a special group, so does Charlie, and everybody plays their part. What's the Donegal influence here? What's the Charlie McGeever influence on the group?
Ashra, not really. Tell you the truth, Oisin, it's more, I would consider the influence to be everybody's influence. I think there are an awful lot of people that have touched this group over the years. They've been an experienced group. I was lucky enough, I suppose, fortunate enough, a club to have them since they were 12, quite a number of them in the club itself. So they would have been part of the 11 minor winning team. And I suppose we had a good run of underage there for a while. My influence probably less. Michael McGeehan would have been influential more than me, probably over a period of time, because he was involved with the Tip Seniors on two occasions and actually involved with the club here as well going back. So his influence on things might be even greater than mine. I'm more of the management end probably than the coaching end, Oisin. But in saying that, this group are self-driven more than anything at this stage because of the age profile. They're all in their mid-20s. They have a great profile for a team. They're all, nearly all of them, between the ages of 23 and 26. A couple of fellas close to 30 maybe, but generally speaking, that's what they are. And they've a lot of big game experiences, Oisin. They've already been in a semi-final All-Ireland 3 or 4 years ago. A lot of them have won Munster Club Championships, won All-Ireland Minor. So that's the way they are. And I think if it didn't happen this year for that group, Oisin, it probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I know you've had success as well with Clonmel Commercials. Is it hard to compare the two of them, the two successes, Charlie?
No, it's not. I think that they've run kind of side by side over the years, Oisin, their style of play. The central players, I suppose, are down the middle. If you look at Tip down the middle, you've got Kevin Fahey at 6, you've got Jack Kennedy, you've got Conal Kennedy, Jack Kennedy at 8 and 9, Coleman Kennedy at 11, and Quinlivan at kind of 14. So the spine of the team is kind of coming from the club a bit. So I think it's quite influential on how to play. They're all footballers, and the lads that are coming into it then buy into that as well. So we know that we've had a special bunch for quite a number of years, and the monkey on their back, Oisin, over the years, 85 years, a long time, for this group to be known as the best squad that Tipperary had produced in their lifetime, it had to be backed up by a Munster Championship, and thankfully on Sunday they did that, so that monkey's off their back.
Yeah, so you've now got that monkey off the back, you've got the Munster title after a couple of goes. Charlie, you were in an All-Ireland quarter-final in recent years as well against Mayo. Is this special group, is there another kick in them to get through to an All-Ireland final?
Well, they were back in the gym last night doing their work last night in their own locations and that, and I was following through that on social media. They seem to be back with intent on moving on. I think on one side we're in two separate journeys. Oisin, the journey to last Sunday was one specific journey; it had to be done at some point. Now we look at a different story. I suppose there's only four counties left, and it's the weirdest thing ever that the four counties left are the same four left. 100 years ago, so that in itself is something unbelievable. But when we look towards this Sunday week, I would feel that the monkey's off the back. As I said, I think they can play freely. I think there's a bigger game in a lot of them than we got last Sunday. We got quite a good performance last Sunday, but we can't play better. I don't think Croke Park will worry them too much, because a lot of them have been up there quite a bit. I think the pressure on Sunday week comes to Mayo, because Mayo have been waiting for so long. They're so close. Another opportunity to get there. So I think from that point of view, we will be underdogs, but we won't be afraid of them. But at the same time, the difference between playing Cork and Mayo, I would feel, is the lack of experience that Cork had in their team last Sunday won't be the same against Mayo. Mayo are a very experienced side with a very experienced manager, and they're in transition a little bit, all right. But you know what, Oisin? We will give it a good go. We will give it a good go.
Okay, well, we wish you all the best with that go on Sunday week in the All-Ireland semi-final. Charlie, great to talk to you again, and good luck with the next stage in the championship.
Thanks. Thank you, Dominion, Oisin. Thank you for your time.
Right, stuff indeed. Charlie McGeever there. Right, let's turn our attention now to our section on the programme called Ahead of the Game, where we look ahead to some of the big weekend's games with Leon Blanche. There's three standout ties in the Premier League this coming Sunday.
Ahead of the Game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
Leon, welcome back to The Score once again.
Thank you very much, Oisin. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Right, I'm going to pull you up first of all on last week. You went for a draw for Spurs Man City. That didn't happen. Spurs went top of the table with a huge win, and they've got another big game, and it's a London derby against Chelsea. Are you edging towards Spurs, or are you going to sit in the fence in this one again, Leon?
Well, look, I got it wrong. I thought Mourinho, his tactics were unbelievable, Oisin, in terms of nullifying Manchester City's attacking threat, and he got it right, and he was able to make plenty of changes for the Europa League game because he couldn't have picked a better opponent in Ludogorets. But Chelsea are a different proposition, and this is going to be a tricky game because I do feel Chelsea, under Frank Lampard, they've made an awful lot of signings in the summer, but he's starting to kind of get a feel for what his best first 11 is and his best formation is. And I think putting Timo Werner out to the left, playing a kind of a number nine and putting Ziyech on the right, it seemed to have sparked a bit of life into Chelsea. But there's no doubt Spurs, they're a form team in the Premier League. I think they've won 5 out of their last 6. They're going to Chelsea as the underdogs at 12-5. Chelsea are favourites, and the draw is also a big runner. However, Spurs, for me, they've got the bit between their teeth, and they will sit back against Chelsea. I've no doubt in that. I mean, at times, Oisin, it was quite boring watching the Spurs-Man City game with 11 men behind the ball, 11 men in their own half. And I do feel Mourinho will park the bus against Chelsea as well. But he doesn't mind that. And his players are buying into that now. And once you're winning, why not? And I think Spurs are a big price currently at 12-5. So can they go and win this London derby? Yes. But I'm going to sit on the fence again, because I do think Chelsea are good enough at home to at least get a share of the spoils in this particular game. There is a €10 free bet with ourselves if your selection loses on this particular game. So you've got a free chance at this one. But I just think, Oisin, Chelsea are coming along nicely. They had a win in the Champions League away from home in France. They're playing at home where they have been letting in a few goals, but as of late, they've only conceded a couple of goals in their last 3 games. So for me, probably a low-scoring affair. I'm going to go 1-1 and sit on the fence and go a draw.
Well, also on Sunday, Arsenal are taking on Wolves. Wolves certainly has the better form of the two. It's not been a good season for Arsenal. This is a big game for the Gunners, Leon.
It really is. And I think, look, I mean, Mikel Arteta is obviously trying to correct some of the wrongs that have been done before him at Arsenal. But it's a major rebuilding job. They were lucky to get away with a share of the spoils against Leeds, having had Pepe sent off quite early in the second half. But Arsenal are at home. They'll want to try and dominate Wolves. But Nuno Espirito Santo has built a tremendous team at Wolves. Even losing Jota to Liverpool was a massive loss, but Wolves are still capable on their day. But I just feel with Arsenal here, this is a big game, and it's a game I feel they almost have to win. They've only got 1 win in their last 5. It's not good enough for Arsenal. And I just feel with a little bit of pressure on them, I think they might be able to produce a performance. They're a shade better than even money at home to win. Wolves are just under 3-1. But I'm just thinking Arsenal, with that home advantage, with a little bit of pressure around the team, if Arteta can get them together, they still have the firepower with the likes of Aubameyang, with Lacazette, with Willian. They have players who are capable of hurting teams. And I just think the Gunners, they're just going to get over the line in this particular contest.
One other standout tie in the Premier League, Manchester United taking on Southampton United. Were good midweek in Europe. Southampton are certainly the team that's got a lot of new fans this season because they've been absolutely brilliant in the Premier League. Can they upset Manchester United on Sunday?
Well, look, anything is possible. I think the big thing for Southampton, however, is they don't have Danny Ings. And he's been their talisman since he moved from Liverpool to Southampton. His goals per games record is phenomenal. So he's out injured. United, they're way better away from home, Oisin. They play better football when they're not at Old Trafford. Maybe it suits them that a lot of the home sides come out and attack, and it leaves space for United, because there's no doubt in my mind they do have players who can hurt you on the counter-attack. They have power, they have pace, and they've got clinical finishers. So United are favourites. Southampton, some might say, shouldn't be as big a price as they are at home at 3-1. But United, for me, again, something similar to what's happening at Arsenal. Solskjaer, he keeps saying he's building for the future. Let's not kid ourselves. They were lucky to beat West Brom 1-0 with a retaken penalty at home. But that was their first win at home in the Premier League this season. They also won at home in the Champions League. So they're building up a little bit of momentum. And minus Danny Ings, I think Man United might just be able to get the victory here, which would be a big win on the road away to Southampton.
Finally, on the Gaelic Games front, it is, of course, All-Ireland Championship weekend. Two big matches, Kilkenny against Waterford, Limerick against Galway, powerhouses in hurling. How tight are these ones to call, Leon?
Yeah, they are tight. And you know something, the first game up on Saturday night sees Kilkenny taking on Waterford. And I've been very impressed with Waterford. They've been coming along ever so nicely. Kilkenny, as we all remember, I thought they were quite fortuitous to get the victory against Galway with those two goals in a minute. Galway were leading by 4 points. Kilkenny ended up winning by 2. And I just think, looking at the betting here again, Waterford are the underdogs. They're 7-4 underdogs. Kilkenny are odds-on favourites. I don't see the value in that. And I think with Waterford, a couple of key players for me is Hutchinson and Ozzie Gleeson. I just think these two players can hurt Kilkenny. And for me, I think Waterford are the value at 7-4 to get into an All-Ireland final. The second semi-final, a lot of people will say this is a lot clear-cut. Limerick, there's no doubt they've been the best side in the Championship so far this season, but they are a short-price favourite. They're 4-7 to beat Galway. And the one thing I liked about Galway last weekend was, I think they were 5 points down to Tipperary. They didn't let it get to them. They kept going. They kept playing. And they're now into an All-Ireland semi-final. And do you know something? They won't mind being underdogs. They'll absolutely relish the fact that everybody expects Limerick to win. Everybody expects Limerick to lift the Lee McCarthy Cup this year. But Galway, beware. I still think they can have a big, big say in this All-Ireland semi-final. Yes, Limerick are the form team. But Galway, for me, getting a +3 head start on the handicap, that's where I'd likely go if I was to play in this All-Ireland semi-final.
Leon Blanche, as always, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, Oisin.
Ahead of the game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
In the final section of the Score tonight, Derry City's season came to an end yesterday evening as the Kennedy Stripes lost out on penalties to Sligo Rovers in the quarter-final of the FAI Cup. With a second outbreak of COVID within the Derry squad, Derry's end-of-campaign preparations had been disrupted with the team isolating. Derry manager Declan Devine spoke to Ocean FM after last night's defeat. He said it was always going to be difficult in Sligo, but he was disappointed with the cup exit.
That's really disappointing. I thought, you know, people have to understand we've been in isolation for 4 weeks out of the last five. We've had 3 training sessions since mid-October, so it's always going to be a huge ask to come here, and Sligo are doing great under Liam, and it's a real hard place to come and play. But I thought our players were magnificent tonight. You know, we're a crossbar away from of winning the game in normal time. Stephen Mullins got a great chance to see Ed McGinty, who was outstanding on the night, has saved. But the penalties weren't of the highest standard, we'll admit that, but disappointing surely, because we felt that, you know, getting the semi-final, anybody can win a semi-final even though it's away to the champions, but real disappointing. But at the same time, full credit to Sligo, they dug in the game and they've had a magnificent season.
At the end of the 90, did you feel like you should have won it in the 90?
I thought we were a team that really played a lot of the attacking football. I thought, obviously, you know, when you have people like Coughlin and Junior and, you know, players of that ilk are always going to have chances in the game. But I thought, on the back of what we've suffered as a team in terms of our ability to prepare for the game, I thought we were very good. I thought some of the football we played were excellent. It was a brilliant night for a game, let's be honest. It's not a winter's night at all. The pitch was beautiful. It was two teams trying to play. So it's really disappointing. But look, good luck to Sligo, and I wish them well.
Just how difficult have the last number of weeks been?
It's been horrendous. It's been horrendous. In terms of trying to achieve something. You know, we had 2 training sessions before we played Shamrock Rovers on their second last game. One of those was after the game down in Cork. We played the two games in 2 days, and then we went straight on the lockdown again. Or you know, we were restricted that we couldn't come out of our homes. So, you know, mentally for the players, it was really difficult. You know, you can do all you want in your kitchen, your living room, but you know, preparing for a cup quarter final was always going to be extremely difficult. And you know, we won session yesterday. I think the players gave a magnificent effort tonight in terms of trying to get through to the semi. And look, we just came up short by a couple of penalty kicks. But at the end of the day, I can't fault one iota of the players tonight.
And how do you look back on the season overall, Declan?
Not good enough. Got to be better. Got to have more ones under our belt. But what I would say is, with the exception of potentially Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians, it's very, very much of a likeness in terms of right throughout the team. You know, I think a magnitude of clubs could have finished where Sligo have finished, and full credit to Sligo, they deserve it because they came back and showed great appetite after a break. But I think it was very little between all the teams this year, and the one team that went on a few runs was always going to try and achieve that fourth place. But I think from a league's point of view, you know, it's got to get better. I think the 18 games, it's extremely harsh in Cork and Shelburne that there was any relegation. I think it's extremely, I know Liam has said that, and I think it was extremely harsh on them because it's been an absolute crazy season. I think football in Ireland has really lacked emotion this year. I think individually, collectively as teams, it's nothing without fans. It's really nothing. Like coming here tonight, this place is normally rocking, the noise from the showgrounds, you know, the noise in the Brandywell, the noise going to Daly Mount, it's just really been lacking. And you know, I think that's transferred onto a lot of performances over the course of the season.
Well, that's it for another edition of The Score this week. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, listen back just after the 8 o'clock news in the sports section of highlandradio.com. I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, what's left of it, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.